Hey everyone, welcome to the big episode 40 of the Talk on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Doing great.
You feeling good? You ready to announce our presented sponsor on this podcast? Do you have it right in front of you? You've got the nice Storyteller Lager. Storyteller was nice enough to send us some of their delicious beer beverages in this nice, beautiful can. Blue can. I really like the brand around. It is nice. It's a nice clean can. A nice S logo. Kind of reminds me of those S's that you'd write when you were in like grade six, but like the fancy version. Yeah.
And my notebook is full of that.
I really like this brand. Like Storyteller is really good for beer. Obviously on this podcast, we sit and drink a lot of beer and we tell stories. So it fits in perfectly. And just in general, if you sit and think about how many stories are made while you're having a beer, or stories are told while you're drinking a beer, I think it's just the perfect brand. And it's kind of surmised by having to just share one. That's all it says on the front of the can, which is pretty sick. I'll read the back quickly. We believe beer is like a great story, best enjoyed with friends. That's why Storyteller is brewed with premium ingredients and a crisp, clean flavor that everyone can enjoy. But our beer isn't just about our story. It's about earning a place in yours. Couldn't be said much better. You want to crack these pints open and enjoy a couple?
Yes. Oh, that felt good. That was a good crack.
Just a good beer.
And the beer's good.
You can just feel the stories brewing already.
There's a story in my mouth.
That being said, the biggest story in the news for us lately, at least, the NBA is in their quick, fast offseason. They've kind of had to rush everything, obviously because of COVID. Season went long last year. And they want to get it revved up already before late December. So the last couple of days, we've seen a ton of huge moves in the NBA. And that's why we've wanted to bring in our new acclaimed NBA insider. Actual former guest of the show. Fun fact, he was on our first episode.
He's an NBA player.
Yeah. former Durham Knight and Bowmanville Talon. We have Glenn McFarlane on the podcast again. Welcome back, Glenn.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me back.
No problem. You've actually earned a promotion since your first time on the show. Are you proud of that?
I am. From first guest to NBA insider. I'll take that. Next thing, I'll be the host.
Well, we'll see about that. That's the kind of episode. That's the kind of thing you say before we just cut this episode and then bring in another insider.
What a Babe Ruth prediction.
So we've kind of developed a new way we're going at this podcast. Jack and I kind of come up with a couple key categories we run through. And the first one is the NBA. So that's why we brought you on. You're our heralded insider. And we want to hear what you have to say about these moves in the last, I want to say couple weeks, but honestly, it just feels like the last week or a little bit over, we've had all these massive moves. So yeah. I think to start off, we're going to run through a couple of the major signings. You kind of give them a yes guy and no guy, what you think, if it's good for the team, and if you think it was a good choice by the player to go there.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's go for the first one. One of the biggest signings of this offseason. We have Gordon Hayward to the Hornets. What do you think about that signing?
Gordon Hayward to the Hornets. What a great deal for Gordon Hayward. I'm not huge on it from the Hornets side. That was an expensive contract. They paid him a lot. What was it, 120 for 4 years, something like
four
that?
4 years, 120 mil.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, in my mind, that's such a Charlotte thing to do. It's just like they know that that's the biggest star they can get. So, you know, money talks, and they'll at least get someone for that kind of money. But, he's not really a proven number one guy. I don't think he can – make a team a contender by being the guy. He's got LaMelo to help him out, as Jack pointed out the other day, but
great player.
It's such a Charlotte move, that's all I'll say about it. They're not doing anything, they're not making any noise with that roster, and Gordon Hayward, good on him.
I mean, immediate slander from our insider on the Hornets. He hasn't even been on the show for more than two or three minutes, and he's already
slandering Michael Jordan, of all people, too.
I know, Jack, you kind of like that signing. Do you have any rebuttal yes or insider? A yes guy.
I'm an absolute yes guy. It's that or Nicholas Batum, but they got Gordon Hayward. Looks great with the fade. Love his hair. Love it. Don't love his ankles. But I don't know, man. That's a good signing, man. He's proven. What do you mean? He's not proven on Utah.
A contender.
He made Utah a contender.
He's a proven number two or three guy.
He inspired Donovan Mitchell to play basketball.
So Glenn, like, I know you are a bipartisan being an NBA insider, but you are a Raptors fan. Would you say that Pascal Siakam would be a proven number one guy? He was given a similar contract. Do you think, and he's only had maybe one good season. I know he's won, which is probably going to be your first rebuttal, but really when he won, he was a number two or three or a four.
He has two good ankles as well.
My rebuttal for that would be, yes, A, he's won. He's contributed to a championship team. He proved it in like the finals. For one season, he's been to a place that Gordon Hayward has never been. And he's got age on his side. You know, he's younger. Gordon Hayward's been in the league for quite some time now. And has he ever gotten past what? Has he ever got past the second round?
He did last year.
He beat the Clippers.
Last year. Was he even playing in the playoffs last year?
I think he came back to beat the Raptors, didn't he?
He's 2 years. He's done well on a playoff team.
He's not
it's 2 years ever in a row.
Been anywhere close to being the guy in the playoffs. Pascal Siakam wasn't the guy.
Did he play 2 years ago?
He was on the bench both years.
Wasn't he hurt the year before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's never been the guy. Pascal Siakam, he's so much younger. To be given that kind of deal, it was, in my mind, they saw what he could do from such a young age that it's like, you're going to give him that kind of money. If Pascal was in the league for as long as Gordon's been in the league, same resume, no way. I wouldn't be giving him that kind of a contract either. But, right. You know, they had to do what they had to do. I get it why Charlotte did it. They're not exactly a marquee market that's going to attract stars. So if you can get one there, get him there, and maybe he'll get you. You know, they might be a playoff team. I'm not counting them out. They could get the 7-8 spot. You know, the East isn't particularly strong, but they're not making any noise. So like that kind of money to be out in the first round as, you know, a best case scenario, I just don't really, I don't know. Doesn't excite me. That's for sure.
All right. That's enough about the Hornets. That's probably the most time they'll get on the show in probably until we finish this podcast and retire. So next couple signings, we have a couple centers, big centers who came in around the 2-year, 19 mil range. That was a common contract. We had Tristan Thompson sign with the Celtics. We had Serge Ibaka sign with the Clippers. And we had Montrezl Harrell sign with the Lakers. If you could have one of those guys at that clip, who would you take? And let me repeat again. We had Thompson, we had Ibaka, and we had Harrell. And let's say you're a championship contender. You're not building for the future. You want to win right now.
Yeah. I mean, Serge has proven to be there. So is Tristan Thompson. They've both got a chip. If I'm a championship contender, I'd like to think Serge. He had a great season last year. I was really upset to hear that he was out of here. I really wanted him back. But as a championship contender, you know, the signings make sense, you know, for the Clippers to get Serge and Trez to go to the Lakers. I feel like I wouldn't choose Tristan Thompson. He's been a couple years out of his prime, I'd say. Not to say that he's not going to come back to it, but it's been a couple years since he's shown his best ball, in my opinion. So Trez, because he got sixth man of the year, he's always a good pickup. He was one of the, you know, marquee guys this offseason. But Serge, because, you know, just came off arguably the best season of his career. Season before that played a huge part in
a champion too.
You know, the championship run. So either one of those two is a toss-up. Personally, I wasn't too upset to hear that the Raps didn't get Tristan Thompson, because I know there were talks that they were going to go after him. So it's a toss-up between Serge and Trez, but they can both contribute just in, you know, different ways, I'm sure. So,
and Jack, what do you think about what do you think about the Trez signing for your Lakers?
Yeah, for my Lakers, it's great. I think it's the best signing of the offseason so far. I think it's exactly what they need. I mean, he's a proven guy off the bench. That's probably what the capacity he'll fulfill with, especially if they get AD back. He'll be getting the six-man minutes. That's basically their one struggle, was their bench wasn't too hot in the playoffs, really. It was mainly them getting carried by AD and then LeBron. And then maybe two or three role guys would step up every now and then, and that would give them a boost to get the wins. But now they have a guy who's proven to be a guy off the bench. So I think it's perfect for them. So I think that's the best one so far.
There were some question marks around his playoff performance, which realistically, we all know the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. All that matters is the playoffs. And I'm curious how he'll fit in. I know there was some sort of rumors about him having a bit of controversy with Kawhi, some of the big names, kind of the divas on the team. And LA does have quite a few of those. I'm curious how he will fit in among those big Mount Rushmore players when he's just a six man. But I do like that signing, and it is it's not like the Clippers really, they let go of him, but they brought in, like Glenn said, a proven champion in Serge Ibaka, so for the same cap. So I think they're fine either way, both teams. I think kind of the two LA teams, although they did make big moves there, I think it kind of almost netted out as if nothing really happened. So you can't complain there if you're either one of the LA fans, I'd say. Another big story of the offseason were the Hawks. The Hawks went out there and they wanted to kind of surround their young players like Trae Young, John Collins, with some veterans, it looked like. So they went out and signed a 3-year, $61 million contract for Gallinari. And they went out there and signed a 2-year contract, $15 million for Rajon Rondo. I'll throw that to you, Glenn. What do you think of these two signings, among others? And do you think they're kind of a playoff team in the East now?
Playoff team, yeah. You know what? I could see it for sure. Those are big signings. You know, I've always liked Danilo Gallinari's game. He's always been, I was blanking on his name there for a second. I've always liked his game. He can shoot the three, and I think they got him for a decent deal too. You know, I don't think they really overpaid for him.
He's 3-year, $61 million.
I don't think that's bad. I agree. Like in today's NBA, that's a decent deal. Rajon, you know, he's got experience with Celtics, now the Lakers. I like that. You know, he can, really add to that team. I think I see them getting, I see them being better than Charlotte. So if I said Charlotte has a chance at the 7 or the 8, I think the Hawks have got a chance for at least the 6 or the 7.
Just look at their team though. They got Bogdanovich as well, which looked like he was going to the Bucks. Somehow that turned around. I don't know what happened behind the scenes there. That's a really good young player who can shoot the three. They have Clint Capella, which I kind of blows my mind. I forgot they even had him, really. Signed Chris Dunn, not a flashy point guard, but a defensive point guard. And they got just small guys like Kenny Herter who can shoot the three. So I think that's just overall a good team as well, surrounded by all those young guys like DeAndre Hunter and Reddish. That team is going to – I just don't like that they're in the same conference as the Raptors now, because they're not going to be fun to play. I don't know about what the management is like in Atlanta, but I know they did have that good team a few years back, and now they've rebuilt to get this team after they lost those players. So I assume they have some sort of good management team in place. But yeah, I really like the Hawks here. And I know, Jack, you're a big Trae Young fan, so you're probably maybe backing these boys in the East.
Yeah, I think it all kind of comes down to Trae Young. I think his health's kind of been an issue in the past, especially on my fantasy teams. That's why I like them getting Rondo back, especially since I think if he goes down, that's still a serviceable point guard to get him to where they want. I could see them getting the 8th or 7th seed, I think. I think especially with this team, it all comes down to the rookies as well, too. Like, or the, not the rookies, but the, I guess, sophomores now is really what it comes down to. There's a lot of youth on that team, and now they got finally some veterans to kind of push them in the right direction, it seems.
Yep, I totally agree. So we've talked about kind of one, two, three of the major NBA offseason moves. Now let's go into our insider of the NBA, Glenn McFarland's favorite team, the Raptors. So obviously another big splash because of what he didn't switch teams. We didn't talk about it yet, but Fred VanVleet signed that 4-year, $85 million contract. He bet on himself and it definitely paid dividends. What do you think about that Fred signing? That must really be a sign of relief for you, eh?
Oh, I love it. Oh, I absolutely loved it. I mean, over the offseason, in my mind, the ranking of priority, number one, sign Fred. Number two, keep the cap space for free agency of next year. Number three was go for Serge. And so in my mind, we got two of the top three done. You know, I really wanted to keep that cap space open for next summer, so I'm glad they did that. And I didn't want to see Fred go because Fred is, as everyone knows, like he's the kind of guy where, you know, he's not going to go off for, you know, 40 points a night. He's not a Trae Young kind of guy. He's not, you know, that same kind of player, but he's steady, going to come in, do his job and, you know, make the right play, get you a win. You know, it's not always going to be pretty, but it's going to happen. So I was really happy to see that. I think if we did want to make a run at a big name next summer, signing Fred was crucial. If Fred walked, all of a sudden, you know, our point guard spot's gone because Kyle Lowry's maybe got a year left here. After that, he might sign for something less. He might go somewhere else, but he's not going to be the same player forever. So in my mind, I look at our roster and without a proven guard, if Fred did leave and if Kyle's gone too, is any big name going to sign here? I don't know. I mean, we'd have Pascal, we'd have OG. But I don't know if a big name would come here without a proven guard. So I think that was a huge piece that we locked up. You know, we've got a lot of big names still on the books that could play with a big star. So I don't know what Giannis or Kawhi or what any of the big players are going to do, but we've put ourselves in the best position possible to attract any one of those guys. So overall, I'd give them a pretty good score for the offseason. Obviously, I would have liked to have seen Serge stay, but, you know, can't have it all.
Are you scared by any of Fred's injuries? I know he hasn't always been able to stay on the court the last couple of years. Is that something that fears you when you sign a guy to a pretty long contract and lucrative contract?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a concern. You know, the NBA, you know, injuries are prevalent. It's heavy season, you know, 82 games. You know, it's going to happen. It's just a risk that you take. But in my mind, when making signings like that, you don't really think about, you know, guys that get in. Like, it's not like his injuries are, you know, like a Blake Griffin type thing where he's off for the season year after year. Like, oh, another season-ending injury. You know, it's not like that. He has these, like, small things that seem to pop up and come in and out, which are obviously a concern, but it doesn't concern me enough to let him walk.
I'd agree too, because if you look at any player comparables, probably the best example would be his running mate Kyle Lowry. And although Kyle has injuries as well, he's able to stay on the court in the crucial times, even if he is injured. So I just wanted to field you with that question, but it's not something that worries me too, because you're thinking that way and you're letting a guy go because he has injury problems. It's like you're probably gonna have to let go half the players you own, because there's always in such a tough game like that, there's gonna be injuries either way. Jack, what do you? I know that we said they did lose Serge, they did lose Mark. What do you think about the signings of Aaron Baines, Chris Boucher? They re-upped, and then they got Alex Len. Kind of low cost, short term flyers to run with this year. You like those signings?
Yeah, I think they're really smart when you really look at them, especially the Baines one. I think that the whole important thing was the second year team option, which implies that I think they're going to really run for Giannis, and that gives me a lot of hope. And that certainly means I think Masai has a lot of confidence. So that gives me a lot of hope as well. Losing Serge, I think it's a big hit, but at the end of the day, I think it can be replaced through Baines. I remember Baines just went off on when DeAndre went out. I remember that because I picked him up through fantasy. It always brings it back to that. But then he carried my squad for a while. He was averaging, like, I think 17 points a game for, like, a good stretch. I know he can hit the three, so that's a lot of the things that Serge does. But I think Serge is definitely more consistent, definitely more proven, especially with the team. I think it just really angers me that it's the same contract, essentially. I really wish we could have gotten him back. But I really think the whole thing, I don't know. I think them not being in Toronto, I think, played a lot of part in Serge's decision, too. Because I don't think I think he would have been down for the 1 year if it was Toronto. But I think with Tampa, I don't think he was really into it as much as he could have been. So I think the whole him going back, especially with – and you can't beat L.A.
I would agree with that. But at the same time, they're going to be playing in Miami, and I feel like that's somewhere. Like, he seems like he likes to be on a beach, stuff like that. And I know it's COVID I think he'd rather be in Miami than Toronto, that's for sure.
I think he really likes it here, to be honest. I think he really and I don't even know if it's like the weather, the climate. I think he just really likes the fans. I know he's always seemed to make a good point of when he left, he really tried to leave on a good note, it seemed.
I do think he likes Toronto, but like, he's got a huge brand. He's got his own cooking show. He loves fashion. It's like, does he really want to cap his NBA career off in Toronto, or does he want to go to a market like LA, a market like New York, where he can really pop off his brand? I know, Glenn, you're probably chomping at the bit to say something here, but in my opinion, I don't think Serge Ibaka is a Toronto man. It's like, he is, his personality, his brand is like so much bigger than Toronto, in my opinion.
But I think he would have been sold on a 1 year in Toronto than a 1 year in Tampa, when it's just like, who cares in Tampa about us right now? Like, Tampa's not like, oh, sweet, we got the Raptors for a year. It's just like, I don't know.
That's the thing. Is the one way that he would have stayed here is, as you said, if it was here, because he loved it here so much. And he's not that old. He could still finish it off in LA later. I think our only shot at him was a 1 year deal here. When he found out it wasn't going to be here, Tom, I see your point with being down in Florida by the beach.
As do I.
But when it comes down to between Florida and LA, if both are asking for you, which essentially the Raptors are just going to be referred to as being a Florida team this year, if both are asking for you, you're going to go to LA. There's not nearly the same kind of like business opportunities in Florida as you're going to find in LA. LA is the place to be if you're an NBA star, you know what I mean? Like, who has business interests? So
I think all those business interests are pretty limited now too with COVID. So that's kind of, I wasn't really talking about this year. I just meant in the future, like if this was a normal season, I think he still probably would have left. I know that 1 year is interesting, but honestly, I think this is all surmising to my fact that I think the Raptors shouldn't do well this year. Like, I think we need to have a pick in the top 10 this year. It's like, this season, we're not going to win. We're not even going to flirt. Like, I don't even think we'll... I know we could surprise, but I think there's at least four or five teams that are better than us this year. So signing a guy like Serge, signing Gasol again, to me, is not that interesting to me. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing the magical mind of Masai actually getting a good draft pick that, and not having to find some gem in the rough in the late teens, the early 20s. I would like to see him actually be able to run at a star and find us a serviceable piece that will be able to play with this big free agent that we have, rather than just having to find this diamond in the rough again, which I do agree we've been doing a really good job at and we can develop. But can we really develop and find this complete all-star again? It's like, how many times can you get lucky like this? I think that it's about time that we need to draft somebody, and we need to draft somebody who plays, for example, who plays the two and can play that position at a high level and is homegrown at a high draft pick for us that can support. Because there's only so long, I think, when you can go and draft these gems and Masai finds them, and who even knows how long he's going to stay.
Yeah, well, I totally agree, and I think it would be awesome to see him get a high pick and see what he can do with that. But I still think at the point that our roster's at right now, we're kind of in a gray area where we're not looking at, you know, the same kind of pick we had this year. Like, we're not looking at 28, 29, 30. We're looking, and we're also not looking at top 10. You know, I think our roster's too good, considering we don't have a lot of injury issues. I think it's too good to even think that we're going to get a top 10. I think the Raptors are looking at a first round, maybe second round exit, which will give us a pick in the mid to late teens. So I think it's kind of walking the line of, getting a high enough pick that we can see what Masai does with, you know, a pick that is in the top 15 and also having a competitive enough team to attract a good free agent. I don't think we need to be looking at, you know, not making the playoffs or, you know, constructing some sort of a team that isn't going to make any noise whatsoever just to attract a free agent, because we all know how the NBA is now. Money is not a big issue for these guys. They don't really care if they get the extra 10 million, 20 million on their deal. They want to win for the most part. And that's a good point, Jack. They want to win for the most part. And so I think we need to stay somewhat competitive. First, hopefully second round exit, get a pick in the mid first round. And then hopefully that's enough to attract a big star saying, you know, you're the last piece that, you know, we need to get back to that contending point. So that's kind of where I see it happening. I totally see your point. I'd love to see a high pick, but I think barring injuries, like say we don't have any huge ones, I think we're still a playoff team, maybe even a second round team, maybe. And we'll get a better pick than we had this year, but I still think we need to flirt. Like, it's still interesting. We can't flirt with that line too much. It can't be too good a season, obviously, because we wanted a decent pick. Can't be too bad a season. We want to attract a good free agent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right. Our insider, NBA insider, Glenn McFarland here. We'd like to thank you for kind of giving your introduction to what you thought about the NBA moves. You went on the Raptors. I think let's close it off. Our sponsor today, again, is Storyteller Lager. So we want you to tell kind of the story of this offseason. So who's your one winner of the offseason and who's your one loser of the offseason? We can give you a second here to kind of fester and think as we have a sip of our delicious Storyteller beverage, and then we'll listen for your answer.
Well, you know, it's coming off the top of my head, so there might be one I come off the pod after and think, oh, that one was a way better shot, but the one that comes with
live interviews, Glenn. You got to get used to that as an insider. Yeah.
So my live interview answer is, I think one of the low key winners that people haven't done a lot of talking about, that I'm not saying they're going to like win a championship or anything, but they've significantly improved their team, is the Phoenix Suns. You know, I think they've had a pretty good offseason. You know, they signed Chris Paul. You know, they've made some good moves that have improved their team and given Book some help. Obviously the West is crazy hard to compete in, so I don't know how much noise they're going to make, but I think it'll be fun to watch and see what can happen out there. Also a good one that comes to mind is OKC. You know, they just keep just getting as many just first
picks
rounds
on picks.
It's gonna be crazy in a couple years. So
they're gonna draft the entire top 10.
Literally. It's gonna be, if their scouts know what they're doing, they're going to have a dynasty in a couple.
They should just
years.
Open up a high school.
Literally.
Just let them play.
They strike me as some of the winners this offseason. Losers, you know, I hate to go back to it and rag on them some more, but Charlotte comes to mind. That, like, they can't sign, not like they were going to get any big stars, but their money's chewed up for any other sizable star to come and join Gordon Hayward. That's going to be tough for them to compete with that huge contract taking up their number one spot. But in terms of losers other than them, I mean, the Clippers, I think, got a little bit worse losing Trez. And, you know, didn't they lose someone else fairly big? The Clippers this
offseason? Their coach.
Yeah, they lost Doc. That's going to be interesting. So
they got the best coach in the league, says Ballmer.
They lost Landry Shamet. Was he still on the team? Yeah. I think he went somewhere. Not like he's a big name or anything, but
I think they got a little bit worse and the Lakers got a little bit better. Not by a lot. Like, obviously, as we know, the playoffs just come down to your best players for the most part. So if Kawhi and Paul George are having a better, you know, streak than AD and LeBron, then the Clippers could easily beat them. But overall, to look at the teams on paper, I think the Lakers got slightly better and the Clippers got slightly worse. So that comes to mind as, you know, I'm not going to say the losers of the offseason, but probably not the way they envisioned it going. So, yeah, those are just some opinions that I'll leave you with. Not like they have any merit or credibility. I'm just another guy, but, you know, that's just how I saw the offseason go. I'm looking forward to the season starting up, and I'm glad it's coming so soon.
All right. On that note, any other questions for our insider, Jack? Or do you think we'll let him go here and enjoy the rest of his night?
Enjoy your night.
I will now.
All right, Glenn. It's the first of many interviews. What a debut. We'd love to have you on. We love your insight, your Raptors bias. It's always nice to see you hop on here. We'll definitely invite you back probably at the beginning of the season. And we'd love to have you hop on for our NBA predictions pod that we usually do. And, you know, Jack won a Lakers jersey from me. So if you're interested in joining that bet, there's a chance to win a jersey at the beginning of the season. So that'll probably be the
next. Do we both just chip in on a jersey for Glenn if you win?
Yep, exactly. <That's fun. laughs> Or you guys chip in a jersey for me. However,
what if we all pick the same team?
I guess that's just we'll
jersey swap
the jersey then.
The Shaq jersey that you got me just gets passed around. it's like just the trophy now.
All right, Glenn. Good. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks for having me. Always happy to chat. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks again for our insider of the NBA, Glenn McFarlane, for hopping on the pod. And thanks again to Storyteller Beer for sponsoring this podcast. Let's enjoy one more sip of our story before we tell a few more stories.
I'd love to. Delicious beer.
It is very, very good. Just a classic lager, as they say, a good beer to enjoy over some good stories. So a big story on Sunday night was the American Music Awards, or as I like to say, the Canadian Music Awards, because it was debuted at the start by Justin Bieber and Shawn Mendes, two Canadians.
GTA to start the boys. Show.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Pretty good to be a Canadian as well. The Weeknd won half the awards that they gave out during the show. So just a dominant Canadian performance overall at the American Music Awards. So just a couple points. Our second point of this rundown is, as you know, the AMAs. We started off with the Bieber and Mendes performance. What did you think of Justin's performance? I think this is one of the first times he's performed in a while in front of a kind of a live audience, even though it was only a few people. What do you think of that performance? Kind of two sad songs to start off a show, but I guess
that would be
kind
an
of
incorrect statement. He performed SNL, same two songs, blew it out of the water once again, just like he did on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's what I said. One
very
of his
personal
first,
song. Like, it's
one
very
of his first performances, and for a show that should probably be a bit more upbeat, I guess it was kind of a sign of the times, really.
I figure speech, because Harry Styles did win too. But no, he did really good. I thought I'm not a big Holy fan. I think that's what it's called.
I like Holy.
I know you do. I'm not that big of a fan of it. It's a good poppy little banger. I do like it. It's better than Yummy. But I do enjoy Lonely, technically.
Lonely is
wise,
very
it's
good.
A very good sounding and technically sung performance. I think that's very good. I didn't get to see the Mendes part, but I do enjoy that song as well. I do enjoy some Shawn Mendes.
I think my ranking actually goes Lonely the best. I listen to that song like once a day, which sounds sad, but it's just it's a soothing, relaxing song to listen to while I'm working and concentrating. Even
you
though it is sad
a
lyrics.
Day?
Not like for this whole year, but for
do you
the
have
last
like an alarm set?
Bit.
Like, oh, time to get my Lonely in.
Yeah, as soon as I wake up in the morning and as soon as I go to bed, right before I go to bed.
I mean,
bed,
you did the same with Yummy, so.
I was not a Yummy guy. And then so I would rank Lonely first, then Holy, then the new Monster song. But maybe it's a grower, not a shower. So I'd have to give it a couple more weeks. But yeah, so they started off really cool performance by Bieber when he was doing Lonely. And he kind of looked behind back into that mirror and it showed like six of himself. Do you remember that
yes,
part? That was pretty
I
sweet.
Do.
Check that out. It's the like one of
cool.
those. It's almost like one of those like illusions. But usually it just makes like your ass look really fat or something. But this just showed like kind of like a horror movie where you step in and then there's like 10 of yourself. And then next thing you know, you see kind of the scary guy. It just
little house of mirrors.
Cool scene to start off with.
I didn't get a chance to see the award show. You said there were fans.
there were a select amount of fans. Of course, they have to call it out a million times. They were they wore masks. They were tested.
Oh, it's like, they didn't SNL it? They didn't like hire them to chill?
I think they were invited. I don't know how. They didn't explain it. But it's like, obviously, we know at this point you're taking the proper precautions. I think...
And even if they don't, like, we can't prove it. Like, you might as well just be like, yeah, we got fucking people here. At this point, no one's going to fucking... The outrage isn't giving punishments.
I guess I guess they're kind of... They have to say that just to cover their ass. But for me, if you're any person with common sense, you know these people are being tested. You know they're wearing masks. They're taking all the safety precautions. If there's this multi-million dollar company... Or sorry, award show, you know that precautions being taken. I think we've been going through this for 8 months, and I'm getting sick of people. As soon as they see a couple people at the award show, they get so freaked out. It's like, these people are probably some of the most safe in the world. Like, you probably have a higher chance of getting the disease when you go to the supermarket rather than these people who have been tested 3 or 4 times before the show. But anyways, sorry, that was just an aside. Not that I'm like an anti-masker or anything. I'm just saying, like,
hey, I have a new mask and it's fucking comfy. I'll wear that shit personally.
Yeah, it's fine. It cover my ugly mug, especially my Movember that I'm supporting right now. But yeah, so they did have people in the stands. Taraji P. Henson hosted. She got out there and did like a full dance performance. She was like twerking and shit. It was pretty crazy. I've never really
like, after it, man. She's
imagine
busy.
Like James Corden or Jimmy Kimmel getting out there and doing a dance performance. Like that was.
I know Corden has. Well, I think I guess Jimmy Corden has as sings. Well. No, but I think Jimmy has done a full performance as well.
He definitely wouldn't be twerking up on the stage like she was, though.
I could see him, man. Corden's got cheeks. He's fucking thick.
Yeah, he's dumb thick. Then we had a bit of a...
No, she's great, though. I'm a big fan of her.
She's funny, and she said a bunch of offside things on the air that she definitely probably didn't that's what, I think
it's just, that's what she's known for.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice. People need some levity during these times, so it's nice to see people kind of, not like she was fucking up, but it's nice to see people kind of make a mistake, kind of embarrass themselves a bit. I think, I can't remember what she said, but like one of the jokes was like, she thought BTS was cute, but then she kind of took the statement back because she didn't know how young they are. And I don't even know how young they are. I'm pretty sure they're a bit older.
I'm pretty sure they're like 20 something.
I don't know. Fact check that. But anyways, it's like, it's not like they're 14. So, but the thing I was getting at is like, she just showed a bit of vulnerability. So I thought she was actually pretty funny and good host.
No, she's somebody you can give a live, like a hot mic to, and you don't really have to worry. Like she can kind of go off cuff, but it won't go Anne Hathaway and Franco. It'll go like, how like a normal like improv guy would normally take it. So she's good. Oh, BTS age ranges from 27 years old to just 23.
That's what my sister. Oh, just 23. Okay.
23 to 27.
So it depends who she's talking safe. About. What do you think about The Weeknd's this mask that he's wearing? You like this setup? Have you seen the picture of this? It's like my mom was like, holy shit, this is creepy. This guy keeps coming up on stage and it looks kind of disgusting.
Didn't see it, but I think I know what you're talking about. It's the
like
bandages,
he's always
right?
got the bandages around the his face and the nose. So
yeah, he's living the advertisements. That's what the album's based around.
Yeah, but did you? Okay,
I have seen.
Good Morning America article, and it says that Blinding Lights is based off like if you got into a car drunk because you couldn't resist going to like find this girl. And he says, like, I don't promote drunk driving or anything, but, like, you're looking around and all the lights are, like, blinding and stuff like that. So I don't know if, like, this mask is worn because he got in an accident or, like, he feels like he's been beaten up, like, his heart and everything. But I thought that's a bit of a weird thing that sticks out to me. I thought that story was a bit weird. But obviously, he gave the caveat of he's, like, not a supporter of drunk driving or anything. But I didn't know that's what the song was about.
He's definitely not
yourself because I'm not certain that's real, but it was Good Morning America, so I don't think they're putting out like a fake news article.
No, he's definitely not supporting drunk driving, I don't think, but I think that's what the kind of the story is kind of depicting. It's sort of like an artistic retelling. I know when he did Can't Feel My Face, that was like a big pop banger. It was winning Kids' Choice Awards, and it was just about him doing cocaine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think in the music video, or one of his bigger known hits, he is also in a car crash and he does the performance live through after like he comes out of a beat up car.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, so he's kind of like lived like a kind of like the gimmick around the kind of style of the albums he's done before. So I, this isn't like a new thing, I guess, but I think it's, he's never really gone this extreme before. Cause he did his SNL thing kind of like this in a similar fashion as well. But I don't know if I like, I, well, no, I do like it, but I don't know if I would accept the, he accepted the award like it too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was out there all the time. He came back out with it, right? His speeches, yeah. But yeah, it was, yeah.
I think it's cool,
it's
but like,
brand,
I also think
it's
kind of like,
brand. Like it's exactly what he's trying to portray in his album. Yeah. So it works. Just, I think it just looks a little creepy. Looks like he's beaten up before he went on stage, but if that's on brand, that's okay.
It'd be like if Tiger owned up to it and just came out like his mugshot all the time in golf.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, fuck it, this is what you know me as anyway. Or if he's so, just like making out with like 30 checks the whole time.
And he also did his like downtown LA performance. Did you see that? Where he came out with that famous saxophone player and then
I heard about downtown. This, yes.
Looked pretty sick. Not much to speak on there. You just got to watch the video, but that was a pretty cool
performance. I'm a big fan of the saxophone, man. I'm a former player.
Yeah, well, as well, alto saxophone.
That's how we met.
Did you see J-Lo's performance? It was a real Super Bowl throwback.
I heard it was Super Bowl.
Definitely a very sensual. If I was A-Rod, I would be pretty jealous of Maluma. They were getting pretty
personal. I would be, he's got like $140 million in his bank. But I heard it was reminiscent of a old Beyoncé performance. I heard this little,
yes, I saw that.
I didn't look
too
into it because I don't care. But
what are they called? The Bee Gang? The Beehive?
Beehive.
I mean, Beyoncé, I don't think she gets jealous at too much, I would say, especially.
Well, I mean,
J-Lo is pretty, it's husbands. Like her and J-Lo are probably two of the most influential female musicians in the world. So I guess if you're going to get jealous of anyone, it's probably J-Lo. Because she looks like she's 30 and she's like 55.
But I mean, Beyonce's good for her age, too.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was a bit of a Super Bowl throwback performance. Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, and Dan and Shay took home 3 awards each. I would say 1 out of 3 of those don't fit in, but good on Dan and Shay for winning 3 awards. I do like some of their songs. I'm a sucker.
I'm unfamiliar
for their
with
songs.
Them.
They had that 10,000 Hours song with Justin Bieber, which was a big winner.
Okay, I knew about
I
like that.
The song Tequila.
No,
a bit of a poppy country. I definitely know you.
Oh, they're country. It, okay,
yeah, they're a bit of a country pop band.
Okay, oh, so
cool looking guys. They had a couple. They seem really like not starstruck. They had good speeches, but they, I don't think they thought they were going to go up against some of these artists and win. That's for sure.
Did they blow up with the Bieber song, or they blow up? Or were they like pretty big time before? I
think they were decently big time before, but the Bieber song would be the song that got them awards because it was that name to make extra people watch.
I've heard that song before. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it's very poppy. It's a lot less country.
Mm.
What do you think about Taylor re-recording all of her music? I don't even understand how that works. So what is it that Scooter Braun has?
Yeah, she,
all of the music.
Owns,
so how does she make the same songs? Actually. How does she make the same songs and then release them? Like, I don't understand how that works.
They own the rights to the original recordings, but there is nothing. I don't think there's anything legally they can do about her personally at her age currently re-recording herself doing the same tracks.
So what if I just got like all of Taylor Swift's songs and sang them beautifully? Would I be able to release their songs and get paid for them?
No, because I think through the intellectual property, she owns the, like, so to publish the song, I'm pretty sure, yeah, I'm pretty sure she would own the rights to the words of the song. And I'm pretty sure they own the master, so they own all the, so they get all the recordings of her at that time singing it. But I do not think there's anything that stops her from redoing. I didn't know she was redoing them. I knew Scooter sold them again for another $400 million.
Yeah, it's insane.
To some, like, Sony or something like that. I don't even know how he got them eventually, but fuck, yeah. I knew it was a whole legal battle. And now there's a huge legal, like, musical.
He lost a lot of money supporting Connie, so he had to.
Which is very funny is because Connie's now fighting for everyone's masters, it seems, especially recently. And now this whole Taylor Swift thing's kind of funny because I think she would be on his side for it. But I don't really agree with that. I don't like a big company owning someone, like an artist's work. It would be like if you were like, it's like if you buy Picasso's one-off painting and now Picasso can't paint that ever again.
Yeah.
I guess it's a little bit different with art, but I don't like someone owning art.
It's like if
it's
like
weird.
The convenience store bought our podcast and owned our rights to give us like $5 a week. And then we got more than
also dumb on us for agreeing to that, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But it'd be like if we had a manager who we gave our rights to it and he sold it. I think that's like Scooter Braun thing that, has happened.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on BTS? Are you like a do you think they're like they're
I'm a stan, I have like 10 accounts.
They got up there, and that would probably be a kick-ass show if you went to it in person, even if you didn't know any of the songs. Like, any time that a couple guys get up on stage and bust it down like that in unison, it's almost watching, like, synchronized diving or synchronized dancing. It'd be hard to
go to a concert and not have fun, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have to be, like, someone I really despise
personally. High energy, though. Like, it's a high energy. Exactly. If it's a low-energy concert, like maybe, but they're high energy for sure.
And I've always seen lights are cool. They got, like, dance moves. Like, they're, like... this is how I interpret it. They're kind of reliving the old
One Direction.
That, but like the kind of boy band surgency, like back when it was Boys to Men and NSYNC and like Backstreet Boys. Like they're kind of like redoing that almost, and they're kind of bringing it back. But I think it's kind of, I think it's cool. I don't think I only know like two of their songs. I know they're toxic as fuck on Twitter. Not them, but the fans. I know if someone doesn't agree with if we were like big time and they heard me say that, they would murder me probably. That's what I just don't like. I don't like the fans that much, but I think it's cool. It's cool. It's like anytime culture dips into kind of North America, I guess, I think it's cool. Like, I don't hate it immediately. I like to understand it and try to get like its surroundings, I guess, and like try to understand it better. And I think it's, I don't know. If you don't like it, don't listen to it, I guess. It's like the only thing you really can do. I know they're we're going to save our Grammy opinions. I know they got apparently snubbed.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But I've heard there's a lot of outcry for that right now. But I think it's funny. I don't know, man.
We'll definitely circle back to that, because I don't know when the Grammys are, but that's going to be a big topic conversation that'll probably get us. We'll probably do a pick 'em on that. So I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Any other thoughts on the AMAs? Anything else you want to talk about?
Let me go through the notes. Nothing off the top of the
head. I think I'm good. Do you want to move on to a special storyteller segment for this podcast? Again, sponsored by Storyteller Lager. Actually, I'm going to crack one open, a second Storyteller Lager right now, because it is so delicious. Cheers. And we thought, what better than to create our own story on this podcast? So we're going to... Jack, I'm going to read off of Mad Libs to you. You're going to give me some words, and then we'll read it over. Tell the story of this Mad Lib while we're enjoying one of our Storyteller beers.
Sounds good.
Jack, could you please give me a man's name?
Dan.
Dan. All right, and we need an occupation.
Telemarketer.
Give me a second here. I gotta get this all written.
I'll stick to three words.
It's just a full-time job. All right. And now we need a noun, people, place, or thing.
Can.
Yep. Great. Great word. What about another noun, Jack?
Bottle.
Common theme.
Looking around the room.
We need another noun. Three back-to-back.
Wall.
Well, I hope you have a lot of things down there to give you inspiration.
I just only had a big can wall.
We need a shape.
Pentagon.
Another man's name, preferably a different name.
Joseph.
Joseph. Is that like a religious Joseph or like Joseph Levitt Jr.? Or?
Sure.
Give me a verb, an action verb.
Is that like an ing?
That's like a ran, I ate, I licked.
All right, we're gonna go with gargled.
That's a good one. Let's do a woman's name now.
Shelby.
Shelby is the word. A body part, please.
Clavicle.
That is the bone.
No, my bones.
Let's do a verb, please. Action word.
Have we done that already?
Yep. That's
the. Okay, I'm going to go with smoked.
Smoked. Good word.
Thanks, bro.
Another noun, please.
Pipe.
Pipe. Another noun, please.
Jesus.
We're getting our way through here. We're about halfway through. A cup. Okay. Restaurant name, please.
Any restaurant?
Any restaurant name.
Man, what's in the news?
I'm getting tired. I need to have a bit more of my storyteller logger here.
Restaurant. We'll take a common. We'll go Wendy's.
Wendy's. Good choice.
Fine dining.
A historic monument. We're challenging you here now.
Lincoln Memorial.
All right. We need a verb, another action word.
God damn. Fondled.
All right. Another noun, please.
God damn. Casket.
Hey, interesting. Dark. Mind map there. Another noun, please. The
mind process of this, of me going through all this. That's a story to tell.
Noun, please.
Another one to fuck me. Mat. M-A-T.
Like a mat? Like a yeah, laundry like mat? A,
yeah, like I wipe my shoes all over mat.
I seem to have lost one of your verbs. Do you remember your first verb that you said?
Gargled.
That is the correct. Thank God for your memory.
I'm going to steal a trap up here.
All right. Another noun, please. This is quite a long Mad Libs.
Noun heavy.
This might time us out.
Fuck. Door.
All right. Verb. Let's buzz through these the last couple.
God damn. Fingered.
All right.
That works.
Are you taking a drink of Storyteller every time you say a word? That's why they're getting more vulgar as we go. Quick noun, please.
No, I'm going through my search history. Another noun?
Yeah.
Nassau Coliseum.
You got a picture of that in the back? adjective, please. We haven't had too many adjectives.
What is an adjective then? We haven't had one.
A describing word. Describing word. Stinky.
Sparkly.
Another adjective. Now they're just banging the adjectives out now.
Mm-hmm. Crepuscular. C-A-R-P.
Thank you. You're really putting me through the
ringer. U-S-Q-L-A.
An emotion. Emotion. What emotion are you feeling right now?
Egotistical.
All right. Good thing no one can see the screen of me spelling these words. Let's move on to a verb, please.
What if I've already said something bad. Let's go. Have we done smoked?
Yes, we did smoked.
Fuck. Harnessed.
Yeah, you harnessed it. We need a noun. What are you harnessing?
BTS.
The whole gang.
The whole gang. 23 to 27.
One more noun.
An Academy Award.
And now, last word is a verb. Please give me a verb.
Grabbed?
Grabbed. All right. Ready to hear this awesome story presented by Storyteller Lager? Let's have a quick drink and then we'll hear the story. Delicious. All right, here we go. This Mad Lib is called Michael Bay. Dan is a normal telemarketer. Then, one day, a can explodes, causing a bottle to blow up, and a nearby wall erupts into a pentagon of flames. Joseph realizes that he's been chased by the government, who's trying to gargle him. While on the run, he teams up with an incredibly attractive woman named Shelby, who has an incredible clavicle. She may be from the streets, but she can smoke like no one's business. Hey. The duo decides to turn the tables on their pursuers by blowing up a pipe, which triggers a chain reaction, causing the local cup, Wendy's, and the Lincoln Memorial to explode. The bad guy's helicopter gets fondled by a casket from when the mat exploded. And the helicopter explodes and falls onto a door, causing it to be fingered, which shoots a fireball straight into the heart of the Nassau Coliseum and destroys the bad guy leader. Everything is sparkly, and the two decide that such a carpuscular ordeal has caused them to fall egotistical with each other. They decide to celebrate by harassing on the BTS and even managing to use an Academy Award from the beginning of the movie.
Nice.
Grab the whole story together. The end. How'd you like that story, Jack?
That's a Michael Bay movie, man.
This night is
a movie. I'm really glad I didn't say any other. I'm really glad I said Lincoln Memorial, not another.
Yeah. Yeah, there could have been. Yeah, that is a good call.
I'm glad I stuck to Nassau Coliseum as well. It's new.
All right, we've heard from our NBA insider Glenn McFarlane. We talked AMAs. Let's run through a couple more topics quick that kind of happened this week, and then we'll end off this awesome podcast. This Friday, November 27th, is Black Friday. Jack, any good deals you've seen recently that you want to let the podcast viewers know?
I mean, you can't go wrong with just browsing Amazon. Best Buy's got a lot. I've noticed.
I bought a monitor already. I know we talked about that last podcast. $100 off a Dell. Check that out before it's gone.
No, I'm in the market for a 144 hertz monitor. Probably going to get one maybe this Friday. Also, Christmas shopping. Can't go wrong. Got to look at that. I did
some Christmas shopping last night. There's some good deals. They're all out because they know people are just not going to store anymore, especially in the Toronto areas.
I would be salivating if I was an online merchandise salesman.
Right. The thing is, though, Black Friday is almost too close. Like, I was looking to buy a couple things for my sister the other night, and they said they're not shipping till December 20th, and that was an automatic turnoff. So if Black Friday was, like, early November, just because this is such a weird year, I feel like I'd want those deals then. Because then it'll give us like a couple weeks of guaranteed shipping.
But I agree, because I'm terrified. I have everything in my car right now. I'm like, am I going to get this before the 25th?
Yeah.
There's probably nothing bigger than Jeff Bezos' bulge right now, thinking about all the fucking deals.
I am totally in agreement.
The revenue? Oh my God. Dude, this is the.
They're saying he should move the vaccine because he's so good at it.
I keep seeing these fucking ads on YouTube for like people selling shit on merch on Amazon. They're making bank, and I'm like, I know this is a scam, but you're really tempting me right now. Yeah. I'm tempted to quit my full time job and just fucking sell some shit.
We're not gonna give Bezos any more airtime. He's doing well enough. What about the Post Malone beer tournament? Did you hear he's gonna have a beer pong tournament? He was on Jimmy Kimmel. He kind of announced it. What do you think about that? Because that'd be pretty fucking awesome to go to a Post Malone beer pong tournament.
Just want everyone to know I've shopped local. But yes, I don't know much about this. I've heard the Fallon. I know he was on Fallon promoting.
Did I say Kimmel? I meant Fallon. Sorry.
You might have said Kimmel. I can't really remember. I saw he was on Fallon promoting it. Interesting idea. I think it's cool if you get some big names. Not the best time to start this. I don't know.
That's what he's saying. He's keeping it small, but as soon as COVID's done, like I could see it being like a reality TV. He could make a ton of money.
He's got a lot of connections, it seems. I've seen him with some big.
Yeah, he said like Drake shit at beer pong. I was at that concert. Fun fact: I felt like
grew
10 inches after I heard that.
You look like Jeff Bezos.
It was my favorite concert because Post was really good, and then he brought out Drake, and I was just like in heaven. Two of the most mainstream artists ever. But anyway, where would you host your Post Malone or Jack Luker beer pong tournament?
Mine? I'd probably keep it local. Just do it right in the backyard. Get the hometown advantage.
Totally. Like
if
that.
I could pick a real thing, middle of the where was the first Olympics? The Coliseum?
Just do it in the Roman.
The Roman Coliseum. I think that would just be like I don't know how you get more big time unless you do like MSG.
But that's just like, I want to do whatever is the most historic. And I think that's fun.
I agree.
I think it's a cool idea too.
Would you be your one partner, if you could pick any partner, celebrity, living, dead, non-celebrity, anyone in the world, who are you picking to be your beer pong partner in this tournament?
Can I get like a time machine?
Yes.
I have a partner that I usually go to. But yep. If I'm getting the chance to pick anyone, I'm kicking this guy to the curb. I'm going primetime Larry Bird.
What a pick. What about Stone Cold Steve Austin? I thought that great was maybe pick. Somebody think on he's yours. A, I think that's...
He's a hero of mine, but I do not think that he is good with the shots.
You could carry, he could bury. That'd be a fun duo. Drink. You could both get your... You got the Stone Cold vest. He'll get his on. That'd be incredible.
He drinks and I sink him. But no, man, I'm going... I like Larry Bird, man. He's cool. He's cocky, just like me. Yeah. He's fun. He'll probably bring the same that my old partner used to.
I love it.
Love him. Love
Last
Larry.
Topic in this
love
little,
everyone.
This big topic is Jeopardy is going to be hosted by Ken Jennings as the first interim coach. I think you
well,
predicted
you pick
this
you
on the
pick
last.
You can pick someone. You pick someone quick.
I don't
you
know.
Pick Drake.
Like that was my first thought, but. I don't know. I think my first thought was basketball player two. You know what's funny? Because yeah, like I'm a pretty competitive person. He was saying like Kevin Durant was so good, but he kind of cheated because his arms are so long. And he elbows, so couldn't pick
that
him. I'd have to pick someone short like Lowry. Lowry would talk mad shit. He'd be pretty fun to play beer pong with.
Muggsy
so.
Bogues.
But you'd kind of have to stick up that back. You couldn't mess up.
It would be cool to pick MJ though.
Yeah, that would be like,
dude,
but you'd have to spend
$10 million.
Like I'd have to take out a line of credit
me.
Just to play one game.
He'd punch me too. He'd just knock me out. He'd Steve Kerr my ass.
Exactly.
He'd knock me the fuck out.
All right. Ken Jennings, as I said, first intern host on Jeopardy. You called it last week. I think that's a good
I
move.
Did.
They said they're going to run through a bunch of interim hosts. Wouldn't be surprised if it ended back on Ken or if they're going to kind of go with a different host who kind of is brought up like Trebek, but just wanted to mention that as our last topic. Rest in peace to the GOAT, Alex Trebek.
Honestly, he's the real GOAT, undisputed. I think the whole point is to kind of test out Ken, and I think if he does well, they'll keep him. If he doesn't do good, they'll keep trying out different guys. I personally don't think they should continue it anymore, but it isn't. It's not fair for like the people.
But
that
the producers,
the
I don't know how rude.
Exactly.
I assume it's real. They were saying he wants to keep it going, and if I were him, I wouldn't want
too.
Them to shut it down just because I passed
me,
away.
I,
so
I don't want them to shut it down. Yeah, if it was me too as well, I just don't think you're ever gonna get someone that's replaced what he did. And I would, if they did cancel the whole thing, I would really feel bad for everyone that works on the show.
Everyone, it's got to be
passion.
Jeopardy's got to be something that goes on forever, like SNL.
It's a bigger thing than Trebek really was. Trebek's just what made it great.
Yeah,
Jeopardy is a game that really did bring I always watched that show, man. When I was sick in elementary school, I would always stay home and I'd watch Jeopardy. Like that was just like the move. But so I get keeping it going. If it were really up to me, I would probably keep it going, but off my first impressions of hearing they're going to replace him, and it's not really a replacement, it's just like it's just going to be a new person. Like you can't really replace that man. But I like the idea of Ken, man. Ken's a homegrown talent. He's only famous because of the show, so it only makes sense. So I really hope he does well, because I don't want to see, I think I said last episode, like they should get someone who would hate everyone. And if they should get like Ellen or Logan Paul, imagine that one. So I'm glad they're not going to go that route. I think I saw someone at Twitter say Trump should do it. And I was like, come on.
No, he couldn't pronounce half the words.
Exactly.
All right. I think that's a perfect
way to end. But I really
like
Ken. I like Ken.
Me too. And we got to end it off on giving a shout out to Alex Trebek. Thanks again for Glenn for hopping on our NBA Insider. We had some good talk about music and a bunch of other topics. So I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Take it easy.
Thank you, Storyteller. Great beers.
Our
great
best,
episode.
One of our best sponsors so far, Delicious Pints. Really something to enjoy, both creating and reminiscing on stories. Check it out yourself. Peace.